For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Today we're going to talk about self-compassion, being a good friend to yourself. And I'd like to start with a quote by Kristen Neft. She says, "When you make mistakes or fall short of your expectations, you can throw away that rawhide whip and instead throw a cozy blanket of compassion around your shoulders." It's not something that we normally do. So let's begin by looking at what compassion is and also what compassion, self-compassion isn't. There are three main aspects to self-compassion: mindfulness, common humanity, and kindness. And compassion, the word itself, means to suffer with. But it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to take on additional suffering. What I see as compassion is when love meets pain and stays loving. When our love for ourselves meets pain, it often doesn't stay loving. It starts the judgmental, we get out the rawhide whip. So self-compassion is really just being a good friend to yourself. And unlike self-care, self-compassion can help you in the moment. Self-care, like going for a walk, getting a massage, taking a nice bubble bath, is not necessarily available in the moment that you need it. So self-care is important, but it's not self-compassion. And people think that, oh, well, I had a terrible day, so I will take a bath, and that's self-compassionate. It's really self-care, which is important. Self-compassion includes emotionally caring for ourselves, not brushing it under the carpet and saying I'm going to lose myself in a good book in a bubble bath. So you might look at self-compassion as an inner support system that provides you with resilience, which is the opposite, because a lot of people think of self-compassion as, oh, that's wimpy, why are you doing that? You know, you got to be tough and suck it up. Instead of saying, oh, that hurt, I'm suffering. But that does provide you with strength and resilience that you wouldn't otherwise have. So we really want to treat ourselves with the same kindness, caring, and compassion that we would show to a good friend. Self-compassion doesn't try to capture and define the worth or the essence of who we are. That's self-esteem. It's not a thought, it's not a label, it's not a judgment or an evaluation of us. Self-esteem is all of those things, but self-compassion is not. It's simply caring about ourselves, fragile and imperfect as we are. Unlike the practice of a positive affirmation, you don't have to fool yourself to make it work. So a positive affirmation, like we talked last week when we talked kindness, I am strong. You don't have to fool yourself to make it work. Self-compassion is just treating ourselves in a kind way. And then self-criticism asks if you're good enough. Self-compassion asks what's good for you. So self-compassion involves wanting health and wanting well-being, the kindness things we talked about last week. It differs from self-indulgence, which encourages short-term pleasure at the expense of long-term. Think eating a large Culver's concrete mixer. It might feel good at the moment.
Yeah. Hey, it's just coffee.
It's just coffee. It's fine.
It's mostly cream.
Yeah. But we do some self-indulgence, but that's not the same as self-compassion. And people worry that if they are compassionate to themselves, that they won't work as hard, they won't motivate themselves, they won't become better, they won't improve. But they're confusing it with self-indulgence, where it's short-term, as opposed to with self-compassion, you're really more concerned about the long-term. So we want to treat ourselves like we would treat our friends, and we want to have proactive behavior to better our situation. And research has found that self-compassion does exactly that. When we soothe our agitated minds with self-compassion, We're better able to notice what's right as well as what's wrong, seeing the sky and the trees and all the beautiful colors, so that we can orient ourselves to that which gives us joy. When we're suffering, we contract and we can't see anything. But if we tell ourselves, oh, you're suffering, that hurts, that opens you up a little bit and you can see a lot more possibilities. Research shows that self-compassion is strongly linked to well-being. It brings a reduction in anxiety, depression, stress, perfectionism, shame, body dissatisfaction, and disordered eating. So self-compassion is linked to more life satisfaction, more happiness, and more optimism. Thus, it's a powerful way to achieve emotional well-being and contentment in our lives. By giving ourselves unconditional kindness and comfort while embracing our difficulties, we avoid the destructive patterns of fear, negativity, and isolation. So think about it. When you do something wrong, you have the choice of saying, oh, you stupid idiot, you did it again. Or you could say, oh, that really hurts that I screwed up again, but I'll do better next time. And notice I put my hand over my heart to take care of myself. You might put it on your arm if that's a comforting thing. We don't stop to take time to comfort ourselves. We run right into problem-solving mode or right into judgment mode. And we do need to take a moment to say, ow, that hurt, and to recognize it and take care of ourselves. So there's really three aspects of self-compassion if you want to develop self-compassion. The first is mindfulness. And the idea is that we need to see things as they are, no more or no less, so we can respond to our current situation in the most compassionate way. We don't need to see things as a drama when they're not really a drama. We need to give ourselves compassion and see that we're suffering. We want to recognize the feelings we have of guilt or unworthiness or sadness or loneliness. If we don't recognize our feeling of loneliness, we might fill ourselves up with whatever it is in the refrigerator. So we want to recognize them, saying, this is a moment of suffering. And when I first was learning about self-compassion, I thought, oh, I don't suffer. Well, you don't know that you suffer if you brush everything under the carpet. But everybody suffers every day, even if they're little things. And learning to take care of yourself on those little things builds your self-compassion muscle so you can take care of yourself on the bigger things as well. So we want to offer that unconditional kindness that we'd offer to our friend so that we stop denying our suffering. Our minds tend to focus on the failure itself rather than the pain that's caused by the failure. This is a crucial difference because when we see something about ourselves we don't like, our attention is completely absorbed with our perceived flaws. So we don't have the perspective needed to recognize that we're suffering, let alone to be able to respond to it with compassion. You know, here I am, a mindfulness meditation teacher, and I wasn't very mindfully, skillfully dealing with my granddaughter. And if I didn't recognize that, oh, that's a bad thing, or that's making me suffer, that I'm feeling that, I would just beat up on myself and probably do the same thing again over and over. So most people, even if they don't blame themselves for their suffering, they tend to immediately go into problem solving. But it's important that we stop for a breath or two and say, ooh, that hurts. I'm suffering. And provide ourselves with a kind, caring response. I'm sorry that that hurts so bad. Or I'm sorry you're so frustrated. If we don't, we risk getting exhausted and overwhelmed because we're always moving on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And we're spending all of our energy trying to fix problems rather than to refresh ourselves. And so we really want to take that moment to give ourselves some self-compassion, to give us that energy to keep going on and then turn to fixing it. When we notice our pain without exaggerating it, that's a moment of mindfulness. When you focus on the fact that you're having certain thoughts and feelings, you're no longer lost in their storyline. When you're aware that you're thinking the thoughts about your brothers, you're no longer caught in the storyline and you can let it go. If you're not aware, it's going to just keep going on and on. So you can wake up, you can look around you, you can take your best friend's perspective on your experience. And the friend would soothe you and comfort you with compassionate understanding. One of the enemies of mindfulness is over-identification, becoming so carried away by our personal drama that we can't clearly see what's occurring in the present moment. And so that's why mindfulness is so important in self-compassion. The second aspect of self-compassion is self-kindness. It begins with stopping the constant self-judgment and negative stories that are on our top 10 list. It requires us to understand our shortcomings and failures instead of harshly condemning ourselves. But self-kindness involves more than merely stopping our inner critic. It includes actively comforting ourselves. My teacher Thich Nhat Hanh would say, just like a mother holds a crying baby, we want to hold our suffering. We want to look at it and hold it gently and tenderly. And then we can recognize everyone has times when they blow it, and so we can treat ourselves kindly. We're not a bad person because we blew it. As Kristen Neff said, when we consistently give ourselves nurturance and understanding, we also come to feel worthy of care and acceptance. When we give ourselves empathy and support, we learn to trust that help is always at hand. When we wrap ourselves in the warm embrace of self-kindness, we feel safe and secure. When we're faced with our human flaws, we can respond with kindness and with care, or we can respond with judgment and with criticism. We can't always change the channel on our judgmental thoughts. Sometimes that channel is stuck and just won't change, but we don't have to encourage them or believe them. And with self-kindness, we can stop seeing ourselves as a problem to be fixed and begin to see ourselves as valuable human beings who are worthy of care. And that brings us to the third aspect of self-compassion, which is a sense of common humanity. Self-compassion honors the fact that all human beings are fallible, that wrong choices and feelings of regret are inevitable, no matter how high or mighty someone is, that we're always going to make mistakes. It's different than self-pity. Self-pity says, poor me. Self-compassion remembers everyone makes mistakes and everyone suffers. When we focus on our faults and identify them as our faults, our perspective tends to narrow. We contract and we tighten. We become absorbed by feelings of insufficiency and insecurity. And I've noticed in my practice that when I'm getting upset about something, I can't see the big picture, and I definitely can't act as skillfully as I could if I took the time to take a few breaths and not be thinking about how insufficient or insecure I might be. So we sometimes think that we're the only one who's being ignored. We're the only one who's being treated inappropriately. We're the only ones who's being taken advantage of or rejected or made a fool of. And our fears and our self-judgments are like blinders that keep us from seeing the hands that are held out to help us. There's a lot of hands in this world that are held out to help us, and sometimes we just totally ignore them. I don't need any help. I'm not suffering. But we are suffering, and having that help would be beneficial. So we might be ashamed to admit our feelings, but hiding our true selves from others makes us feel even more alone. And when we feel more alone, we feel separate and we suffer more. So we're adding to our suffering, not eliminating it, by ignoring it or denying it. So when we're suffering, if we can remind ourselves that others are suffering too, then the moment becomes one more of togetherness. I'm not the only one who reacts unskillfully to a child who's having a tantrum. Then I don't feel so alone, and I don't feel like I'm such a bad person. I feel like everybody does this. This is just part of being human. So we see we're not alone, and then the suffering is reduced. So as Kristen Neff said, by practicing self-compassion, when we make mistakes or fall short of our expectations, we can throw away that rawhide whip and instead throw a cozy blanket of compassion around our shoulders.